south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. First, I'd like to mention, since this show is going out on the 3rd of December, 2017, we're just a little over a month away from the start of my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. It starts on January 6th. Reason why I'm bringing it up now in the beginning of the show is to mention that if you're looking to kill two birds with one stone, that is, apply for your Guatemalan permanent or temporary residency at the very same time that you're at the seminar, you'll need this month in advance of the seminar to gather up the paperwork that you're going to need to apply for residency. So to sign up and get started, just go to the newexpat.com website, click on Johnny's seminar link. And when you do that, you'll get a couple of downloads and a barrage of paperwork explaining the residency process to you exactly. Once again, we'll be doing the seminar in and around Guatemala, Central America, mostly way off the Gringo tourist trail and 100% of the time in the Altiplano. You've heard me say, and many others too, that it's the best climate in the world. Why? Because you'll never need heating or air conditioning. So it's more than comfortable, and you save a lot of dough on utility bills too. People say, why do you do your seminar in Guatemala, Johnny? And I say it's the perfect example of how to live an excellent life. Way off the Gringo tourist trail, where you have access to pretty much everything. Not only that, it's very cheap, and there's virtually no Big Brother, so you've got all the freedoms in the world. The ones you grew up with and got used to, and now, well, they're mostly gone. Another reason why we do it in and around Guatemala, I've got some tremendous contacts, a great network, and some fantastic places that only my seminar attendees get to see and experience. In the end, people are always amazed. And how about this? I've always got attendees that never end up leaving. They come down to the seminar, they like it so much, they stay or make arrangements to stay permanently. And since Guatemala is probably now the least expensive, most lenient country to get your residency in, that's a major attraction too. Especially as neighboring Latin countries tighten up their residency requirements, and Guatemala is yet to do so, but it'll come, which is why you really should act now. By the way, why do you think so many past attendees are repeat offenders? Well, you know, you have to come down and see why for yourself. Oh, and by the way, as I've mentioned before, at least a third of the people who come to my seminar have taken my Expat Essentials course, and everyone has told me it's been a huge help in getting their plan B organized. So whether you're coming down to the seminar or not, do check out my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. You can see my introductory video at expatplanb.com. Enough said about that. Let's talk about the crazy world of banking here in Latin America. And here's a question that always comes up. If you're coming down to live, work, play, and or do business, how do you get your money transferred down to whatever Latin country you're in? What are the tricks, what are the hints, and the stuff to look out for? We all know you have to have a bank account or two once you get down here to Latin America. Why? Well, first of all, you're not going to find your local branch bank down here. Unless you've got Citibank. They've got branches all over down here too. You longtime listeners might remember how I mentioned that Citibank came down here to Latin America, dug in, and became somewhat famous with the locals. Where do you think they spent all that bailout money they got from Obama and his Fed? Well, they took taxpayer money and bought out bank chains with lots of little branches in small neighborhoods, banks that were disorganized and teetering, there's a lot of those, so they got them cheap. Why? Just for the real estate. So in the end, they got a huge chunk of the remisa business, since most of the billions of dollars coming into Latin America from the States ends up in those tiny poor neighborhoods. So it's good to have a little bank on every corner. Not only that, Citibank had the gringo advantage going for it. The only gringo bank in the hood. And most locals have seen bank failures. So, it was an easy step. It took no convincing at all for them to pull their centavos out of their little corner banks and put their dough into the new corner bank. That Rock of Gibraltar, good as gold, malignant, fascist Citibank. Boy, talk about dumb clucks, huh? I'm being kind here because undereducated Latins buy into all that first world propaganda. So it's clucks with a C, not an F. Anyway, as you've heard me mention before, you have to have a local bank in your Latin country if you're going to live or have a business here. And the fact that every Latin country has 10, 20, or 30 banks to choose from, it's confusing. Even dangerous to your assets and finances if you were to select a bank on your own. But you know, there are two rock-solid ways to select the proper one. You heard me mention before, ask your local Latin lawyer where he banks. Not only will he be the best recommendation you could ever have, if you bank at his bank, he can hold your hand and take it down himself, or someone from his office will, and he'll cut through all that BS red tape that exists everywhere here in Latin America. Why? Because he's a preferred customer, and he's a great reference. However, if you're one of those gringos and expats who hasn't selected a lawyer yet, or are in between lawyers, or have bounced around between a few and none of them are to your satisfaction, there is another surefire way to find a very solid bank in your own Latin country. Here's how you do it. You go to the U.S. Social Security website. Look up the Latin country you're interested in. Find out which bank in that country has been authorized by the U.S. Social Security Department to receive direct deposits. And generally, you'll see in whatever Latin country, there's just one bank that's authorized to receive those monthly Social Security transfers. And believe it or not, in most Latin countries, it's not Citibank. Turns out it's almost always a different bank for each Latin country. Hey, I'm no fan of Big Brother and the U.S. government. You know that. I disagree with almost everything they do. Why do you think I'm down here? But I can tell you this. When it comes to direct deposits for U.S. retirees, including direct deposits for useless paper-pushing government employees and contractors working at embassies and such, you can be sure the U.S. government did due diligence. They vetted the banks out and selected one that was most rock solid, or at least solid as Latin American banks go. If you have Social Security or a disability check coming every month, you want to pick the bank that the U.S. has chosen for direct deposits. If you don't, you'll have to do what some expats do, which is a kind of a workaround and a bit more complicated and expensive. That is with transfer and currency conversion fees. It goes like this. Some people here in Latin America have their Social Security check or pension fund direct deposited to their bank in the States. Then you in turn have your U.S. bank wire the funds to your Latin American bank. And of course, since all banks, Latin banks too, have debit and credit cards, as well as checking accounts and such, that's how you can spend your money in your given Latin country. So the question is, why would you have your money deposited in a U.S. bank, then have them send it down to Latin America? You're accumulating extra fees and charges. Why do that when the Latin bank the U.S. government has a deal with accepts your money directly without any fees? Well, some gringos, green gringos anyway, ones that have just landed and don't know too much, really don't know the ins and outs, not for a while anyway, and don't know what to do when they first get down here. Eventually, they do find out they can do it that way directly, and they get with the program. Another thing, and this threw a big wrench in the works, turns out, just lately, in the last year or so, most Latin banks, due to FATCA and GATCA, won't allow a gringo expat to open a bank account unless he's got permanent or temporary residency in that Latin country. Although there still are a few odd banks in every Latin country that will allow gringos to open an account if their lawyers along with them and he can do some recommendations and introductions. And who knows how long that option is going to be on the table. But in the end, you're going to need to have a Latin bank account or two. Otherwise, you won't even be able to walk into any old bank like you used to and pull out $100 and ask them to change it into the local funny money. You can still do that on the Gringo Tourist Trail because, well, a lot of stuff is priced in dollars. But with banks off the Gringo Tourist Trail, forget about it. The first thing the teller's going to ask you is if you have an account with that bank. And if you don't, they give you that nice, genuine, friendly smile and a look that says, "Sorry, gringo, I would if I could." Now, for gringos and expats who don't use direct deposit to a Latin bank, what they often do is use their debit or credit card, Visa, whatever, from their bank up in the States and pull local funny money cash out of ATMs as needed. Usually, you can take out the equivalent of $200 to $300 a day. Anyway, a lot of gringos with U.S. bank accounts only, they use their plastic at restaurants, Walmart, Costco, big supermarkets and stores in shopping malls. However, you'd be surprised not everyone takes plastic here in Latin America, not like up in the States. Most little neighborhood mom and pop tiendas don't take it. Why? Because they get nicked for a 5 or 6% extra charge by the bank if they do, so they don't bother. And of course, people selling stuff in those big markets don't take plastic. It's an underground kind of gray market economy, all cash, you know, so no receipts. My kind of place, day in and day out, giving the government the proverbial hook. By the way, throughout Latin America, Visa is accepted a lot more than MasterCard. I'd say 3-1. That said, I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of gringos and expats financing their lifestyle using their plastic drawn on a U.S. bank account. Good idea? I don't think so. I've talked to a few and they always say they feel safer that way. They're not so sure about these Latin banks. And I say, what you should not be so sure about is your own damn bank up in the States. I tell them there are two or three big banks in every Latin country, flush with cash. They don't have derivatives in their portfolios. They've got massive reserves, unlike banks in the States. They're owned by huge cement companies, mining outfits, and families who've owned massive pineapple, sugar, and coffee plantations for hundreds of years. Let's just say their financial statements and balance sheets are enviable. But again, that's just with the top two or three banks in any Latin country. The rest of them, you never know till you read about or hear about how shaky they really are. That's why you have to check these things out before you make your choices. So anyway, you've got gringos and expats coming down, especially green newbies, afraid to put their dough in a Latin bank account. To which I always say, don't put a lot of dough in any bank account. Have just enough in there to live a couple of months, but don't put your mother load in a bank. That would be stupid. Because, you know, inevitably the big reset button's going to get pushed. And probably all the ATMs in the world are going to go down. Hey, just look at Puerto Rico. But you knew that already, so we won't get into it. Anyway, for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of gringos and expats who are still making all their purchases and doing all their transactions down here, even pulling money, sometimes daily, out of ATMs, using their first world bank account up in the States, if you check the fees involved, especially if you're pulling cash out of an ATM, then you'll have the regular ATM fee plus the currency conversion fees. You'll see you're getting nickel and dimed to death on every transaction. All right, suppose you have set it up so that you get your Social Security or disability directly deposited in your Latin bank account. First of all, that dough will land without any charges or commission. And by the way, when you set up such an account in a local bank, you'll have both a U.S. funny money account and a local funny money account. That's the way the bank does it, so the two different currencies don't get mixed up. So your direct deposits will land in your U.S. dollar account. Then what people normally do is go online, make an internal transfer, let's say it's $1,000 from your U.S. dollar account to your peso account in the same bank. Then you could take the peso debit card that's attached to that account and go spend the money or pull out pesos from the ATM. And since you've converted from dollars to pesos within your own two bank accounts, you'll get the best bank rate for the currency conversion without any extra charges. Wait a minute, let me explain that a bit. When you set up a direct deposit account in a Latin bank, your money lands in dollars, right? And like I said, you'll have two accounts in that bank, one dollar account, one local peso or doubloon account, whatever. And if you do the internal currency transfer from dollars to the local money, that would be an internal transaction between your two accounts. That's what the bank calls it. You pay no extra conversion fees. Years ago, a lot of banks didn't offer dollar accounts, and if you shipped some money down or had a direct deposit, it would immediately go into a funny money account. You'd pay all kinds of fees. But nowadays, you can hold your U.S. dollars in a U.S. dollar account until you want to convert to the local currency or not. Now, in the process, your bank will also issue you two debit cards. One for your dollar account, one for your local Lempira or Colony account, whatever. And you can use either one of them throughout the country, wherever they accept Visa or MasterCard, and at the ATM machines too. Now, here's where green gringos get nailed for charges. They'll use, for example, the Visa debit card from their dollar account to go to an ATM machine and pull out the local money. Now you're going to get nicked for a transaction fee. So how to eliminate that? Well, leave the dollar Visa card at home or deep in your wallet. Just don't use it. Use the Visa card that's attached to your local currency account, pesos, lempiras, whatever. Now remember, I mentioned just a few minutes ago that when you get your direct deposit from the States, $1,000 let's say, you immediately, or soon enough, go to your local Latin bank online and convert it internally to the local funny money. So now you've topped off your credit card that's in the local money. Again, let's say it's pesos, and you can use that anywhere in the country. So if you go to an ATM machine and pull out pesos, they're coming directly out of your account. There's no currency conversion charge. You get the direct posted bank rate. So you want to do your own currency conversion between your two accounts and then use your Funny Money debit card from then on. So bottom line, you'll have a US dollar debit card from that bank too, but don't ever use it unless you're going out of the country on a trip or something, or going to a Latin country that uses the US dollar, like Ecuador, Panama, or El Salvador. And here's another important thing. You'll want to use your own bank's ATM machines if at all possible when you're pulling out dough. Then there are no extra fees or charges at all. Luckily, those big banks the US has chosen for direct deposits have a lot of their own dedicated ATM machines all over the country. Now, you know when you're traveling anywhere in the world and you got to get money out, whether it's dollars or local funny money, you can go to any ATM if you got, for example, a Visa card and it has the Visa symbol on it. And you also know you're going to get hit up for some ATM charges that'll show up on your statement. Though a couple of financial service companies up in the States, for example, Schwab, as part of their service, offer to reimburse you for ATM charges. There are one or two other U.S. banks and financial institutions up in the States that offer that too. But you know, that stuff and those offers are always changing. So this month or this year, they might absorb the charges, and it might just be for a promotional time only too. All right, so you're getting direct deposits, and now you're going to ATM machines to pull out the local funny money. You can bet that the Latin banks that get direct deposits from the U.S. government are pretty big and solid. So big, they've got virtually hundreds of dedicated ATM machines throughout the country. For example, let's talk about one of the biggest banks here in Latin America. It's in a lot of different countries. It's called BAC Credomatic. It's a big bank that was started, guess where, in Nicaragua. But it's penetrated the four corners of Latin America now. That means if you happen to be walking around in a big city in Latin America, or even out in the boonies, every couple of blocks you'll stumble over a stable of ATM machines, just like up in the States. These days, they're everywhere, in Walmarts, Costco's, most big supermarkets, and they come in pairs or triplets. Well, in that group, you'll often see a dedicated machine that says BAC on it. With their famous abstract Red Lion logo, you can spot them a mile away. So you might see one of those along with a kind of generic ATM machine and then maybe another bank's ATM. And if you have a debit or credit card, you can use any one of them to pull out the local funny money, even dollars. Yes, most ATMs down here in Latin America allow you to pull out dollars too. But really, why would you do that? Unless, of course, you're in a country like Panama or El Salvador where they use the dollar. Anyway, suppose you had to get some local funny money, pesos. If you have a credit or debit card, you can go to any one of those four ATMs. However, and this is the point, if in your Latin country, the U.S. government direct deposits to BAC Bank and you have an account there, that means, as mentioned, you've been issued a debit card in dollars and one in the local peso. So if you want pesos, you take that peso card over to the ATM machine that has your own bank's logo on it, BAC in this case. You're always better off going to that machine when you see one of them around than any of the others. You can pull out local pesos from your account with no fees or extra charges. Whereas if you go to a generic ATM machine or another bank's ATM, you'll get your money out, of course, but there'll be a fee, usually $2 or $3, and there could be some other small hidden charges buried in there too. And you won't know that till you check your monthly statement. So now you have a couple of good reasons to get an account at one of the bigger banks. Oh, and here's a recent development and a pretty good thing. Most ATMs here in Latin America now allow you to select your language. Whereas up to a year ago or so, unless you were in a heavy tourist area, they were all in Spanish. All right, so once you get your permanent or temporary residency, or even get started on them, your lawyer and your lawyer's staff will hold your hand through the process of opening a bank account. All right, so far, so good, and it's gonna take a couple of hours at the bank. And possibly another trip back a day later, even two. But eventually, you'll walk out of there with a checkbook in your hand and a couple of debit cards. Most likely, Visa cards, and one will be in US dollars and the other in the local money. Unless, of course, you're in a country that uses just the US dollar. Then you'll have one debit card. Oh, and look out for this. After about 6 months, you'll start getting emails trying to get you signed up for a regular credit card. Yep, they'll try to get you out of the debit card and into a credit card. That's where they make their real dough. You might remember in a past show I mentioned the interest rates on credit cards in Latin America can be from 50 to over 100% a year. So when those offers come, you won't bite. You know better, right? So anyway, now you've got a bank account, you've got a checkbook, and you've got a couple of debit cards. And for some of you who are retired or getting disability payments or a trust or some kind of pension, you're getting direct deposit into your account. Well, that's cool, and over time it'll save you some dough. But now you got to get your money from dollars to the local funny money. So you go online to your bank's website, put your password and code numbers in, go into your U.S. dollar account, transfer some of that money directly into your peso or lempira account, whatever, and you're all set. Now you've topped up your local funny money card and you can go out spending, right? Yep, absolutely. Except there's one big problem here. And I mean big. Almost all Latin bank websites are completely in Spanish, and there's no little American flag on the top you can click where everything's in English. That's just not going to happen. And I'll tell you, if you don't know at least a little basic Spanish, you're pretty much screwed. Let me give you a few examples here. Suppose you're online now and you put your account number and passwords in correctly. Let me tell you, when you look at that page, you just might be baffled. There are at least 17 different categories to choose from. As mentioned, all in Spanish. For example, you'll have one that says Información de Cuentas. That means account information. That one you'll probably figure out. But what about the other 15 choices? One is called Monetarios. That's your current account. Then there's one called Ahorros, which is your savings account. Then there's Préstamos, if you've taken out a loan. Then there's one called Tarjetas de Prepago. That's debit cards. Tarjetas de Crédito, credit cards. And at least 10 other tabs you can click on. So, if your Spanish sucks, well, it's more than confusing. Aha, but when you were in the bank for those 4 hours setting everything up, they did show you the few little things you need to do to get in and out of your account, check your balances and such. You knew you'd only have to enter the website a couple times a month, click on a few things, and you'd be out. What could be so tough about that? Well, that's true, but here's something they never tell you. But you'll find out soon enough. I found out it happened to me when I first got an online account. You know, they've only been doing the banking online thing for a couple of years. In the States, you've been doing it, what, 20, 30 years now? So you probably could maneuver your way through your own bank's website, left-handed and with your eyes closed. But it's in English up there, right? Anyway, here's what they don't tell you. Most Latin banks these days, to make things more secure, will set you up with a couple different passwords. And they'll do it at the bank right when you set up your account. Now, that's separate and apart from the password and code words you use to get into your account anytime you want to check it. So, the other one or two passphrases that you got the day you opened your account, well, you'll soon forget about those. They'll be written down somewhere in the big pack of junk you get after you've signed all the documents and they hand you all the pamphlets. But you know, those secret phrases or passwords you never use, the ones you forgot all about, don't come into play till about 6 months after you've had your account. Now, I don't know if they do this up in the States. I don't have any bank accounts up there. But this is how a lot of banks do it down here. Suddenly, about 6 months after you've had your account, depending on the bank, you'll be in your account and all of a sudden you'll get a pop-up window. In Spanish, of course, and you really won't know what it means, so you'll probably click on the X to make it go away. Then, maybe a day or two later, you go back in and check your account or do some kind of operation and that box will pop up again. No big deal, you'll click on the X and it'll go away. Just like before. Then a few days later, you'll get on the net, go into your account, but it won't let you in. Your passwords and code words won't work. Then that box will pop up again. What it's asking, or I should say telling you, you have to do is change your password. Because you know, with all the banking insecurities and hacking going around the world, Latin banks are aware of this and putting in all kinds of safeguards. Now, I don't know if they do this in the States, but here's the drill. Every 6 months, depending on the bank, of course, you'll have to change your password. That's just the way it is. If you don't, it'll block you out of your account. And if you get blocked out of your account, that's when you'll have to go back into all the stuff they gave you on the first day and dig out those other passwords. Then you'll have to follow some directions in a few other pop-up windows, and they'll allow you to change your password and you're back in. Now, I'll tell you, even for a guy like me who can read Spanish pretty well, though I write like a fourth grade niño, which I guess is better than most gringos. When that first happened to me a couple years ago now, I couldn't even work my way through it. I forgot about that initial password and all that. I saw the pop-up boxes. They were telling me to reset the password, and I kept trying, but it just wouldn't work. And now I know why. I was supposed to enter that other password first. Well, I know that now, but I didn't then. So I gathered my bundles of paperwork and pamphlets and went down to one of the bank branches. Within an hour, maybe two, the customer service lady had worked it all out and fixed me up and got me on the right track. And of course, we did that in Spanish because she spoke no English. So there you have it. That's one of the problems you have with doing online banking here in Latin America. Works fine if you got the details down and you can read a little Spanish. Otherwise, when you run into a problem, you'll have to run to your lawyer's office and one of his helpers will probably fix it for you, or you'll go down to the bank with someone from his office and they'll fix it for you. So you live and you learn. Now, expat Eddie has a lot of interaction with his bank because he's got a pretty good business going, multiple restaurants and such. And I remember quite a few years ago when he was just getting started in it, there were months back then where he was banging his head against a wall trying to get things done through his bank and not knowing exactly what was going on because he didn't speak any Spanish. So every time he had a problem or went down to the bank, he'd bring his girlfriend Claudia with him. And in a way, he said that wasn't a very good idea because he came to depend on having her around way too much to do that kind of stuff. After a while, he felt he couldn't do those things without her. So don't let that happen to you, especially you guys and gals out there who get Latin boyfriends or girlfriends. As Eddie says, don't let them get involved in your banking and financial stuff. You really have to learn and take control of it yourself. Because relationships, romantic and otherwise, who knows how long they're going to last? You heard me tell that story about my friend in Costa Rica who opened a bar with his Latina girlfriend who ended up owning everything. Not good at all for him. Anyway, just a word of caution there. Bottom line, you're going to get frustrated with the banking system here. It's frustrating up in the States, and like expat Eddie says, how many of us haven't been so thoroughly frustrated with our bank up in Milwaukee or Cleveland that, like expat Eddie says, we didn't want to lay a little whoop-ass on the manager? And now imagine those same kind of problems happening to you at your Latin bank down here. Then add the fact that all the documentation's in Spanish, everyone you talk to speaks Spanish too. Imagine standing there ready to blow your stack and you just can't get a simple point across. I've been there plenty of times. Now, of course, if you're just doing very basic stuff and you just have a simple account and a debit card, there's very little that can go wrong and maybe you can figure most of it out yourself. But don't count on it. In fact, I'd say every single gringo expat I know has spent way too much time screwing around in the customer service department at his bank. You know, I quit counting the number of times I'd run into a gringo or expat and I'd say, hey, how's it going? Then he'd say something like, well, pretty good today, Johnny, but yesterday I spent half the day at the bank. And I know I'm going to have to go back because my statement still isn't right.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.